Hello, my name is Ben Jenkins, and welcome to another episode of the New Grad Radio Podcast, the podcast following the experiences of a new graduate nurse starting into the intensive care unit. So here we are. The other day I had my 9-month CPAP. It was something that was always a little bit nerve-wracking when you have to do an assessment in the ICU, as it's part of your official transition program as well as my official graduate program, I guess you'd say. So, as I've said about at the 3-month CPAP mark, the 3-month CPAP was like a formal assessment. The assessor was sitting there asking me question after question about why I'm doing things, and it was mainly a one-way thing. I was learning a lot from it as I was getting a lot of feedback about a little bit further of explanation of some of the things I was doing, but really it was meant for a day of, let's just see where you're at. You sort of pass-fail. But in this 9-month CPAP, it wasn't so much like that. This was an opportunity to, number one, see where I'm sitting, because it's been a proper 6 months now since I was formally assessed last. But it was also an opportunity to have an educator with me to be able to go into a bit more depth if I needed a bit more help on some things. Today, that was the day of using the assessor to my ability and to learn a lot more from. So it was good. It was excellent. So it wasn't like a proper pass-fail thing. It was more of a, let's see where I'm at. Where do I need a bit more information? And how can I really nail and get all prepared for that final 12-month CPAP? So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the big learning things that I took away from the 9-month CPAP and how I'm going to go ahead now to pass the final 12-month one. So I'll start with one of the things that was probably one of my biggest takeaways. It's, of course, when you're doing assessments, it can always feel as if you're a little bit further behind. I really found that in my 3-month CPAP where you get your routine, you try to get in really quickly and get some things done and move on to the next thing to keep your time management going really smoothly and to be able to get ahead for your shift. But you always know, like I found in the 3-month CPAP, especially that when you're trying to explain why you're doing things as well, it can definitely slow your time management down to feel like you're behind in that way. But I couldn't really understand why. It wasn't just the time management that was sort of thrown off for me. It sort of felt like my whole routine was thrown off in a way as well. And it just didn't feel right. And it wasn't until pretty much as soon as I was finishing my full day of the CPAP and going off my debrief that it started to make a little bit more sense. And I started to reflect on it a little bit more, and then it sort of clicked. And what I found, and this is only something I found of late, I sort of use my time at the computer as sort of like my regrouping zone. So what I'll do is not only do I use the computer, which every bed space in ICU has a computer, and we not only use it to be looking at the patient's notes, what the doctor's orders are, what needs to be coming up next, blood results, you name it, like everything to do with the patient and your shift. I not only use the computer for that, but I seem to use it as sort of like a regrouping zone. So I'll go off, I'll do everything I need to do, clump my cares together, I'll come back, I'll enter in the data, but it's also an opportunity to look up from the computer, scan my environment, see what needs to be done, see if anything has changed since last time I did this, and then I go off and do the next thing. So it's sort of like that time that I come back, have a think, have a drink of water, and then I can get back into it again. But in the particular shift that I had for this CPAP, I had the assessor, and this is not the fault of the assessor or anything, that the assessor was really, really kind to be able to sit there, not only assess me, but sat at the computer and was able to enter in some obs for me, validate some obs, and to look at the work list. And so I was sort of taking the direction of this nurse to be able to tell me what's on the work list to be going ahead. And this is one of the first times that this has ever really happened. And so that's probably the reason why I was feeling so just out of my normal routine in a way, is because it was something that was different and it was off. And so it was great because I've learned something new about myself and subconsciously what I do every single day in ICU. So as sort of like a 9-month CPAP opportunity to practice for my 12-month, I know for me that when it comes time for them assessing me at the final culminating 12-month patient for my grad program, that I'm probably best to sort of bar that computer in any way that I can. So when I go off and do my routine and to answer the questions that's going to be asked and to care for my patient safely, that I can come back to that computer as sort of like my little zone that I can come back and I've worked that into my routine. So that was such a valuable learning opportunity. It's something I've built into my practice for the last 9.5 months, and it's pretty weird that I didn't really consciously know that that's what I was doing and that was part of my routine. So again, a great opportunity to learn for that 9 month CPAP. As I've mentioned a few times, the particular ICU that I'm working in, not only is it a major trauma center, but there's so much variety that comes into the ICU. It's definitely multi-specialty. And with that, it means that you don't exactly see the same types of patients every single day. And the particular type of patient that I should be getting my final 12-month CPAP for is going to be someone who's a fresh out-of-hospital cardiac arrest or a fresh traumatic brain injury. And by fresh, I mean sort of like day one, day two. And around those types of patients, there are specific parameters and policies in place of how to care for these patients. So for example, with traumatic brain injury, you've got specific target blood pressures, you've got glucose parameters, end-tidal/carbon dioxide. And so you've got all these different things that you need to keep in between. And something I've learned about myself is, because I don't see these types of patients every day, what I have incorporated into my routine is I'll bring the policies up on the screen, and I'll use them to make sure that I'm looking at them every few hours to see if I'm sticking between those particular parameters for those patients. And when this particular assessor was on the computer, it means I wasn't able just to go to it, look at the particular parameters. And it was definitely an area which I need to improve upon, because I found out that I didn't exactly know them off by heart. And so it's excellent. I love that, because it means that I can go away now, I can study that policy, know it off by heart, do what I need to do to understand it, and that means I won't have to just go off the sheet. I can just memorize it, know it, understand it for that final 12-month CPAP. So it was excellent having that assessor there watching me and asking me all these questions, because I found a big area that I can improve upon. Now, the intensive care unit, there is so much to learn. It's there's so many things that we do in ICU. And one thing about it too is that there's so many different layers. It sort of really is like an onion, and you never know it all. There is just so much depth involved. And so it was a great opportunity to be held at the level and the expectation of sort of knowing, sort of held me at the expectation of where I'm supposed to be at 12 months. And so it gave me an opportunity to try to explain and to elaborate as much as I could about particular concepts. And by doing so, I was sort of finding, as I was trying to explain things, that yes, I kind of knew the basics about some things, but there's definitely room to improve. And it's not something I'm getting down on myself on. It's just something that it's excellent, because I've got an assessor who's, you know, done their masters, who's been doing ICU nursing for such a long time, and because of all of their extra training and so many more years of experience, they understand the things that you're trying to explain, but on a completely different level. And by having these people watching you and giving you this feedback, it's such a valuable learning experience. So there are so many different things. So for example, the ventilator. So the mechanical ventilation is in itself a pretty complex subject. And whilst I was able to talk about some of the individual things on the ventilator. So for example, I was saying that my patient is in was in SIMV volume control. So it's a type of ventilation whereby you are able to control the size of the breath, how many breaths per minute, why you're setting your parameters the way that you're doing it. So, and then the assessor will come along and sort of tell you like 7, 8, 9 more things on top of that. And so whilst there were times there where it can start to feel a bit overwhelming, because it's sort of like, oh my God, like, do I really know anything, sort of a thing. And I had those sort of moments, but in the day, when I stepped back and started thinking about it, sort of like, well, no, this is just the assessor trying to really help and to sort of explain things on a few other levels that now I can go away, reflect on, look into it a little bit more. And it means that when I'm coming up for that final 12-month CPAT, I'll be on a whole new level again. So it was such an awesome, awesome experience to have such professional and knowledgeable assessors watching you. Because again, if you go away and you only look at the negatives, well, then it can be a pretty depressing thing, because you've got so many smart people working in ICU who know a lot more than you. And so if you only look at the negatives, it can be a bit down. But if you use it as an educational opportunity to improve, well then, geez, you walk away with a whole new insight into it, and you can start to work on so many more things. And finally, this sort of leads on from the last little area. When I come and sit down right at the end of the CPAT, a big, big day. Like, it was a patient who was very sick. There was a lot going on. And there was just constant information thrown at me all day. And finally, when you get to sit down and discuss about what you feel like went well and have that little bit of a debrief right at the end, it is one thing to look at the negatives, because it means that it's given me some key areas that I can go away and I can really use the next few weeks before my final 12-month CPAT to study, and to sort of improve upon the areas that need improving, and to sort of push me to that next level. But it's one thing to look at the negatives, but it really is important to not just disregard the positives. I think we've all sort of experienced that in a way, like, yeah, okay, I get that I did this thing, simple thing well, but really, like, what are the bad things I need to improve upon? But at the end of the day, again, sort of similar to what I said before, if you just do the negatives, it can really get you down. It really, really can. So something I really made an effort on was, let's just have a listen to what I did well as well. Like, it sort of had to sort of force myself in a way to have an open mind, and let's have a think about it. So it was really good. So again, this particular assessor has been watching me over the last, you know, 9.5 months, watched my progress. But really, this was one of the first times that this assessor has really sat down and watched everything I do for the full shift. And so I really trusted that this assessor was going to give me some, I guess, I can't really say non-biased, but sort of some, let's just have a listen to see what she has to say. So it was awesome. So I was able to see that for example, my 12 lead ECG knowledge was pretty good. And again, that's something I had a feeling was going to come, because it's something I like to do in my own time. Like, I love 12 lead ECGs. I put a lot of time and effort into it. And when it came time to demonstrating that knowledge for my 9-month CPAT, I did fairly well. So, but again, it is nice to be almost rewarded and recognized in a way that the hard work that you're putting in is certainly paying off. And that was for a few other different areas as well. So not only was there areas I need to improve upon, but it is nice to know that I'm doing fairly well in some particular areas as well. So anyway, guys, it was a 9-month CPAT and just assessments in general for ICU and my grad program and transition program. It's certainly nerve-wracking. It really is. And it's sort of like a raw experience to put your practice in front of someone who's there to critique you. It can be nerve-wracking. But again, having that open-mindedness to look at it as purely as a learning opportunity, that definitely helps to keep you pushing ahead and continuously improving. I guess it's about moving away from that defensiveness about you're looking at how I'm doing stuff and it's only a negative and blah, blah, blah. But if you switch your mindset up a little bit and think about, what can I do to improve? This is someone who's been watching me for the full shift, who's literally picking through all the pieces of knowledge that I have in my brain. There's so many things that I can now walk away with and practice and improve upon to push me to that next level again. So anyway, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, send them through, and I can't wait to talk to you next time.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.